It's Wednesday night and time for the Chadron State Sports Journal presented by Nebraska Bank.
And then they're also looking to add beach wrestling to the 2028 Olympics, so I am training for that.
I'm looking at all my keys. Like Coach said, if that backer fills, I flow. If he flows, I fill. And I'm just looking for that extra yard every time just so that I can put the offense in the best position I can.
Mental health is health. Just making sure that we're shining light to it and allowing the athletes, not just on our campus, but all over the world, to know that they're not alone in this fight.
Voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins, visits with coaches, athletes, and CSE sports newsmakers. Here's your host with tonight's edition of the CSE Sports Journal, presented by Nebraska Bank.
Head football coach Jay Long is our guest tonight on the Chadron State Sports Journal, brought to you by Nebraska Bank, and we're going to get a pulse on spring football from the head coach here today as things are moving right along. Coach, welcome in. Always excited to get caught up on what's going on with the CSE football program. Big steps being taken here in the spring, and we'll start with your overall thoughts on, you know, about the first week and a half of spring practices that you guys have put in on campus.
Really positive, Dave, and you know, it's been a while since we talked. We talked on signing day, it was the last time, but you know, it didn't really. These first three practices are really driven by what we did all spring, and really proud of our strength staff this year. When we got done with the end of the season, we talked about things that we thought we needed as a team, and one of them was is we needed to get stronger. We wanted to change up our weight workouts a little bit, so we went and we added another day of lifting. We typically in the past had went 3 days of lifting. This year we went 4 days of lifting. The other thing that we've added is, you know, we did a little bit more of mental toughness in our morning conditionings. We call them our mat days, or we call them our eagle days. Today's the days that we create our eagle, create you into an eagle, being an eagle. I thought that it went really, really well. And so when you go into spring ball, especially since, you know, we're into our third practice, today is going to be our fourth practice. You know, that first week is, you know, establishing our practice standards. But then also, you know, it's that opportunity for those guys to use them new muscles.
Yeah.
And it's that new strength and those type of things. So the first 3 days, really positive. I'm happy with where our guys are in the first 3 days. And, you know, the other thing that I do want to add on to this also with our spring, I hit the strength side, but also twice a week we can do our football school. And what our football school entails is we get 2 hours a week, whether it's film or technique. I think our guys are a little bit more ahead of where we've been, especially in the last couple of years, with things. This year, I think we graduated either 6 or 8 seniors, but we didn't have a big senior class. So a lot of the guys that are returning are guys that have experience and understand our schemes, you know, both offensively, defensively, and special teams wise.
And those experienced guys get some more great reps to get ready for the fall. And the spring also allows you guys to give other players, younger players, newer players, a chance to break in and win some spots in the lineup, the two deep. And so let's take a look at some of those position groups, those battles, and some of the individuals you want to highlight that are standing out in spring camp. Coach, we'll start at quarterback, always a huge position to put under the microscope. Of course, you got Preston Pearson and Mason Hamilton, your two main returners, Gavin Gerritsen, Zach Kapushin, young guys that are still coming back and on the roster. And then you got a transfer in DJ Ralph, who was at one time enrolled at San Diego State. And yep. You know, a guy that can get into D1 has got some talent too. How are the QBs coming along?
You know, it's one of those positions that where we want to see, you know, big growth at. And when you look at, you know, when we talked at the end of the year, our quarterback play and our offensive line play, we need to improve in those two segments. And that improvement is growth on our current team, which Mason Hamilton and Preston have been growing. They understand the offense more. And, you know, in the first 3 days, they've taken those next steps. And, you know, Mason was a little banged up at the end of the season. He started off the part of our winter conditioning in the injured group. Now he is, you know, fully cleared, you know, with things. And Preston is Preston. I mean, he's such a, you know, he's just a terrific worker, and, you know, does things right. And, you know, he's built like a lion. linebacker out there, you know, at quarterback, and he is also growing with things. Gavin Gerritsen, during our fall, he had been our third string quarterback, I guess. He got injured. He and wasn't able to finish fall, but he's healthy now. And he's a guy that, you know, we have 4 years left due to the way he's actually would be the same age as like Jake Marshall and Coy. But we got 4 years left with him of eligibility. So he is our freshman. And then also we have Casey Jones, who threw for a ton of yards in Alamosa, Colorado. So those two are our 4 year players. Casey is battling an injury, so he won't go through spring ball. Okay. But Gavin, like I said, is very athletic. He won a state title with Meade, Colorado, his high school senior year. And, you know, he's growing and taking those steps. And like I said, the huge benefit of him is we still have 4 years with him. And then for, you know, I guess since I've been here, this is one of the first times we've been able to utilize this. But Shattered State set up in quarter systems, 8 week classes. And we were able to bring in two players at the 8 weeks. And we brought in DJ Ralph. DJ Ralph started off his career in California playing quarterback high school. Then he went to Saddleback College, which is where we've got, I think, two or three players from Saddleback.
Yeah.
There. Also, Western State's starting quarterback was a Saddleback College quarterback. DJ and him were together at the same time. DJ was a year older than him, so DJ was the starter the first year. And then when DJ left for San Diego State, then Western State's quarterback ended up taking over for them.
Okay.
So he's got a lot of experience. He has experience playing in college football, and then he's got that experience of, you know, coming from a Division I program, getting that coaching, strength side, all those type of things. And very mature guy. Right now, we've been rotating quarterback reps evenly. As this thing progresses, we want to come out of spring ball with a guy. That's one thing that I think that we want to, in my last radio show, this is the guy we're going to move forward with, and then keep the next, you know, everybody ready. Because as you've seen the past 2 years, we played in the last 2 years, I think we played four or five quarterbacks. Well, no, we played seven quarterbacks in games. So
yeah,
we know that health is always a factor with things. So I know that was a long answer. We also have done a little different with our coaching staff.
Yeah.
Coach Asani is a guy that has been with me since 2009. I recruited him to Black Hills State, brought him here. He's an Eagle, man. I love him. He's one of a guy I'm very, very proud of. He, you know, wanted to become an offense coordinator. And this year I said, let's go do everything we can to get you an offensive coordinator job. And he got a D3 job in Bethany, West Virginia. And that's closer to where his wife is from.
Yeah.
So really proud of him. And then we were able to hire Tommy Wilson, who was a coaching assistant for us a couple years ago. His brother Travis played for us. Outstanding linebacker for us. Their dad is a high school coach in California. Just really excited because we now moved Tommy to coaching quarterbacks. Coach Wilson, the coaching quarterbacks. He played quarterback and really, really enjoys it. So he's been at a couple different places, which has helped him be able to grow, and really excited about moving him there. And then that allows, you know, Coach Smith, we moved him to wide receiver, which is where the majority of his coaching career has been, in the wide receiver and in tight ends. And plus he played wide receiver. So I think that also is going to help us offensively with things. And coaching quarterbacks takes a lot of time, Dave. And, you know, with that, it allows Tommy to spend that extra time with the quarterbacks, and Coach Smith can get his wide receivers right and then be able to focus on scheme, play calling, scripting, all those type of things.
Sure. Yeah, it has been fun to see Coach Tommy Wilson back with the program out at the practice fields, and congrats to Breyer on his opportunity as well, Jay. And the quarterback battle in practice ought to be fun to see unfold and see who takes that on. And the offensive line, the other position that you mentioned, who's back? Who's emerging? I know there's some young guys that you're kind of sprinkling in there, too. What are you working on most with them in the spring?
You know, I guess the two returners is DeAnthony Smith and Tyler Carpenter. Those two started the majority of the games last year. Real solid players. They need to take those next steps of being the next, you know, great offensive lineman that has played here. And right now they're on that track of doing that. Guys, those other three spots, you know, right now, Sefa, JoJo Christian, Hutchinson. He is in he's on a semester limitation right now, so he has to sit out a semester.
Yeah.
But he will return, so that's another, you know, competitive person that, that isn't in spring that has, you know, started a lot of games for us last year.
Okay.
With things. We brought in two transfers, and they've really done a good job. And I think that, you know, we brought 10 overall transfers in, and Levi and Iskander, both of those two guys have really they've been the guy we wanted to recruit so far, and we've been one day in pads and really looking they're gonna push for a start in jobs. And, you know, so, you know, with that, I think those guys are two names I need to say. And then, you know, Tyler Smith had an outstanding offseason. And he was a guy at the end of the year we started rotating in, and he's taking the next steps. And, you know, he's really, really growing. And I expect him, you know, to really fight for a spot here. And then, you know, the rest is our young guys. And that's what spring's about. We have about 14 O-linemen is what we have right now. And, you know, we brought in some more in the fall. We this is a position we got to improve at.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that, you know, that right now they're growing like they need to, and we need to continue to grow as spring goes, because when you're an O-line, young O-line, you got to push and you got to bang. And that's one of them things that this spring we have to do. We have to be up front where we get them in controlled positions where we're allowing them to hit, because that's how they grow in that segment, is by actually going out and doing, you know, that competitive pushing people around.
Absolutely. Head coach Jay Long's with us on the CSC Sports Journal tonight. We've only been through the first two positions, coach, but it sounds like things are really competitive out there, and you guys are all on the same team, but there's that inter-competitiveness in there, four spots. When I was out there the first practice, I could already feel the sense of the urgency, the focus, and the sharpness that you guys are really trying to put in. Do you sense that? Is there a lot of competitiveness out there between the guys to really get out there, prove themselves?
Yeah, you know, Dave, the best coaching ploy is competition. If there's two guys that are fighting for a job, that is the most motivational thing that for guys to do. When a guy has a job and he's maybe better than everybody around him and knows that that's theirs, then you got to find that kid that's intrinsically motivated, and, you know, so he wants to continue to be that next step of what he wants to do to get better, making the good players great, great players to be the top of the game.
Yeah.
With things, and then also as coaches, you know, you have to, you know, motivate in different ways, but the best way to motivate is have competition. And there's also a name I forgot to say in O-line. We moved Brannick over from D-line to O-line, and he, speaking of competition, that's why it popped up in my head when you said that his name, because he's really competed really well and this whole spring, and has really taken the next steps of, you know, trying to go out and find a spot for him.
Great stuff, Coach. We appreciate that. And receivers and backs are up next. Tommy Thomas is out there catching footballs. You got Rollin George at wide receiver with Tommy, too. Peter Krohn, solid tight end. Those are all exciting contributors that are coming back. And then Jake Marshall broke out last year at the running back spot, too. Those guys, are they looking like the leaders that they had become last year? And what are you seeing from them in those two position groups?
You know, your last comment was as you're asking the questions, automatically flashed in my head. These guys are our playmakers on offense. And they're, you know, some of the best in our conference, and, you know, some of the best in Division II. So these guys are guys that we've got to, you know, be able to get that ball to. And, you know, and are they growing? Are they getting better? Are they developing? The answer is yes, yes, yes. And we need to get those other two positions, you know, rocking like they need to be able to get the ball to those guys. And, you know, when you look at the easiest thing to show growth is if we can run the football. If we can run the football, Dave, that opens up so many different aspects of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's where Jake Marshall comes in, you know, and with things is he had an outstanding finish of the year, and his off-season competition, he's sitting right now, is the highest scorer on our whole team. So,
wow.
Is he competing and making his development? Yes, he is.
He seems really dedicated then to the top scorer of the entire team for a young guy like that, and super motivated. Great to hear about Jake. Let's flip it now to defense, Coach. Plenty to be excited about returning in your front seven. You've got great players like Hunter O'Connor. You got Logan O'Brien, Lobo, who's really come along the last few years. Xavier Harrell, Tanner True, Reed Hinkle. The list goes on and on. What about the next steps for guys in that group to elevate things even higher for the fall?
Yeah. And, you know, we brought two transfers in also at that position. And, you know, sitting in day three of practice, William Stemler was a transfer from Lindwood. He is a kid that's work ethic-wise. You know, we're just talking about our offseason conditioning points and those type of things. He's, I think, in sixth place. So he's one of those guys that come out and compete every single day. So he's going to help strengthen that front seven. I'm also happy with Andrew Calderon. He's finding his way and finding his role, as spring goes. Tanner is a little banged up, so he's not going to take a lot of reps in spring. So what that allows, those next round of guys to grow and get those reps. And I'm excited to see how Bo translates at nose and we find that depth of things. Pierre Fetti, he's a guy that's really starting to grow in there too. So, there's some guys in there that young guys are going to get a lot of reps, and a lot of reps is what makes things better. And, for the past, I would say a while now, we've been relying on our front seven, and this year's no different. I think we have some top players. Obviously we got multiple all conference players. Xavier Harrell is an all conference performer. Tanner True is an all conference performer. Hunter is an all conference performer. And I truly think that the other guys that are in that front seven have those opportunities to continue to make that front seven one of the best in our conference.
Diving into spring football with head coach Jay Long on the Sports Journal tonight. Let's go to the back end of that defense, coach, a cornerback and safety. You've got several very young guys that got experience last year, but actually they have transferred out. A lot of those younger guys, freshmen and redshirts, which will affect some depth there. J.J. Harris' brother, Alante, at wide receiver, they're going to give Division I a try up at Long Island U. So they are gone as well, and you lose J.J., a very good corner. But who are you counting on at this point to come and kind of shore up that secondary? There's some young guys and guys that did break out last year.
Yeah, that position's a position it's hard to get local guys at. When you look around our conference, and the majority of the corners, are coming from the coast. And, when that happens, it's easy to come. It's also easy to go with things. And, we know that at the end of season, when we sit where we're at, we knew that was an area we needed to improve at. I mean, basically, when you look at it, as a team, and we say, hey, where do we need to improve? It was the two segments I just talked about on offense and right here. So when we improved on it, and this spring has been, some good growth with it. We brought in Omar Ali. He actually started as a true freshman in our conference from South Dakota School of Mines. Then things didn't work out. He ended up going to a junior college, and we brought him in this spring. And Dave, I'll be real surprised. He isn't a leader for us next fall. I mean, he's a captain type player for us. He has done an outstanding job as far as competing goes. He has a job. He's doing all phases right, gets good grades, has a job, he goes above and beyond. And in that competition we just talked about, he's a top 10 point getter also. So that shows you that, that he's a guy that comes out and will compete. And that's what we need at that position. That's a position where, that you're on an island, and some days on that island, you're going to own it. And other days, man, you're going to have to need some help, and we're going to have to figure out things to be able to stop it. Because the way offenses are now, every team has a special receiver. And, I'm really excited about him. And then our young guys are growing in that position. Jack Ward, who's a guy that, got primarily some, reps on, special teams. He is growing. And then in our safeties, Tucker Peterson is, I think he's had a 2 picks a day, and wow. In the first 3 practices. So he is a ball player, and he's a guy that's going to continue to grow and continue to get better. And Dax is just one of them solid, strong players every year. I put him in that same category I just was talking about with Hunter and Xavier and Tanner and those type of things. He's just one of those guys that comes to work every single day. And Sutton Pullman's really growing also at that third position. So and then also Tayshawn Young is another transfer that we brought in that has done some, that is really showing that, hey, he's going to be a guy that is going to compete in the RMAC with things. So we have about 6 corners that are all rotating through. And that is a position, Dave, that I will tell you that when I played, nobody came off the field at that position.
Yeah.
And now with the way the game is and how open it is, we have to rotate. And so that is going to be one where there's going to be a lot of guys playing at it.
Coach Long on our show tonight talking CSE spring football. Coach, some guys not on campus. You have in the past had some early enrollee freshmen. Are there some this year that have joined you, but even incoming freshmen you think could make an impact, maybe in the two deep as you look ahead to the fall when they're done with high school and they finally get on campus?
Dave, this is an interesting question because the answer is, and when those kids are sitting in front of me in the recruiting talk, is the answer is, we don't know.
Yeah.
That answer is, yeah, when we recruit them, we think they can.
You certainly hope so.
Yeah, you certainly hope so. But, at the end of it is that we will know after 25 practices. We'll know then where they're at. And the kids that are the maybes, after the 3-game redshirt rule, we can find out. And, this year, I think we really utilize that thing. And the kids that got to play as true freshmen in that 3-game redshirt rule, they're also the ones that are showing up right now in spring ball. So when you look at it, that answer, Dave, is I'm assuming, yes, there'll be some guys that contribute next year. But as of right now, for me to say, hey, this kid, I don't know. And I don't think that doesn't do me. I don't want to talk about one kid and then down, then that to another kid feels like, hey, he doesn't think I can do it.
Sure.
I truly think that when we recruit a kid, there's kids that develop, but we think all of them have an opportunity. And the one thing that's unique is that I just talked to you about the quarter system, is that we had a freshman that graduated early. His name's Isaac John Pierre, and he's from Arizona, running back, and he enrolled early. He's going to be starting. His first practice will be today with things. So I'm excited about him getting in there, and what a cool experience for him. I mean, he's going to gain, I guess, 11 practices on the other freshmen, and then he's going to stay here over the summer, which will help gain him experience there. So obviously he'll be a freshman in the fall, but not a true, I don't want to consider it as a true freshman because he still gained that valuable experience with things.
Kind of gets that nice head start, and the freshman coming in the fall, get that chance to show it out on the practice field. And you brought up the red shirt situation with 3 games. It's great to have that rule and more freshmen, true freshmen, get a chance in college football. Kind of show it early on, and excited to see that in the fall as we continue with Coach Long. Jay, what are the biggest goals you've got for the next week to 10 days, kind of in the middle of the spring ball period as you're getting closer to that scrimmage and the joint practice day pro style stuff at Wayne State coming up?
So Dave, when you look at overall just administrative stuff, I want to make sure that we're practicing at our standard, because right now there's excitement, it's new, we're fighting for spots and those type of things. Somewhere in spring, there's always that practice 8, 9, 10, and the kids start realizing, hey, this is practice.
Yeah.
And we want to continue to push through those days and learn. We don't want to waste days. Where we live, weather happens. And for us to have a perfect routine, our perfect practice routine would be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We meet on Tuesday, Thursdays, and that would be our perfect, but it doesn't work like that. So on Monday, we go and we look at the weather and we make the best plan for the week.
Yeah.
And so we want to utilize those great days, and we've got to utilize those days to get better. And so when we look at it, my ultimate goal, is things we got to learn how to practice at a standard, continue to get better every single day of spring. Now, the intricate details is we got to grow at every position. We just talked about the positions that we're good at that can't be satisfied. Those groups got to grow. They got to get better. They got to be we got to strive to be the best in the conference or the best in the nation at those segments. And the teams, the places that I said we do have to grow, we need to should see growth. We need to see it on film. We need to see kids stepping above. And when we tell those kids that are that are close, hey, go take the choice away from us. Go show the team, show the people that Dave, when you come there on the sideline and you're watching, and you're like, oh, he's the starter. It's easy. It's easy to see. Boom. But when there's, then we have to make subjective decisions. And so go out there and show that the job is yours. And then the next thing is what is the overall goal of a spring? Is it to bring a Xavier, True, Peter, our returning Hunter, our returning all conference players to see what they can do? Yeah, it is. We want them to grow. I don't downplay that. But the next is that the guys that you've never heard of, Dave, the ones that we talked about on signing day 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's to see what those guys, it's to get those guys ready, because they are going to be the reason why or not we win or lose in the fall, is because the stars will be stars on Saturday. It's how are the other guys doing and how are they competing? Are they competing at our standards? So when we go into our joint practice with Wayne, that's what it's really going to be. We're going to focus on, do I need to see those all conference performers out there? Yeah, I do. But at the other side of things, I want to see what Bo Douglas can do. I want to see what our younger players that don't have a lot of reps, how they're growing, how they're getting better with things.
Yeah, yeah. We know Hunter O'Connor eats quarterbacks for lunch. Yes. We don't even see that in spring ball.
Yes, we know that. And his mindset, if me talking highly of him right now, he's still going to compete every single day. Yeah. We don't have to worry about him getting satisfied. He has his other goals that he's going to strive for, and those guys know that I'm not downplaying them. They're important in regards to things, but because they got that other thing inside of them where they just want to be great.
Isn't that what makes them so great? Is that they know, hey, I'm not going to be the focus of spring ball. I'm not going to get out there and make all the big plays, but I'm still going to work as hard as if I am a guy trying to fight for a position and make myself better. That's what makes X and Hunter, those type of guys, so incredible.
Dave, they just have that mindset that it doesn't matter whether they're going to class, whether they are lifting weights or they're running. It doesn't matter what else is happening. What matters is that I'm getting myself better, and I'm getting – they eliminate all the things they can't control and just focus on the things they can control and focus on getting better every single day.
Yeah, great stuff. Coach, we'll finish up with your thoughts on some of the new rule changes in the NFL and football. I always love to do this with you and get your thoughts as a college football head coach and looking at maybe if we'll see it in our games and just kind of your general feelings on some of these things. We'll start the hip drop tackle outlawed by the NFL. Do you see that used a lot in our games? Do you feel like it's a good rule to have? Is it coming to D2?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't come to D2. Anytime that you start talking safety, that stuff trickles down all the way to high school with things. And the big example would be horse collar tackle. You know, it started off there and ended up to all levels with things. And, you know, to be honest with you, Dave, when this came out, I was listening, you know, watching ESPN on it, and I was like, I walked out of the room I was outside the room, and I could just listening to it, and I walked into the room to see what are they meaning by a hip tackle.
I was just going to say, can you explain it to some of our fans too? Because you can see a highlight, but it's still...
It's basically, Dave, you grab on to somebody from the side, and then you just drop your legs. You just go limp. And when you go limp as a defender, then it basically folds the offensive player over, and it's a bad-looking tackle when you look at it. And, you know, my initial thought process was, all right, how many times has this happened to us? And I'm assuming it did happen to us this year, or we did it to someone, I assume, but nothing was egregious enough that it just popped up in my head.
Okay.
You know, like things that you just remember with things. So as far as, you know, we don't teach that type of tackling. We always talk about running through tackles and you keep your feet running with things, because when you do drag tackle or hip tackle like that, you know, the offense is getting more yards, you know, with things, because they can run their legs with it. But if their legs stop, that's when they get rolled up. Do I think it'll end up with us? I don't know. It probably will be a discussion that we talk about next year when we go into our rules committee with things. Do I have an opinion on it? I'm about the safety for the player. And I have that. The reason why I gave the big deep sigh beforehand is that I also love football, and some of the best parts of football is the, you know, the hits that happen. But you know, at the end of things, we have to make the best for the safety of our athletes. And as you can tell, I just said that I can't remember it happening egregiously either way.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that, you know, it'll probably come down the pipe later on.
Yeah, we may see it. Might be more of a used tackle in the NFL. It'll be interesting. Kickoff changes too announced yesterday. Yeah. Boy, this is going to look really different in the NFL. And I don't know. I guess maybe from your answer we'll know. But would you like to see this in the RMAC too? Bizarre.
You know, so I don't know what our percentage is, but they said in the NFL, like, only 20% of kicks are getting returned.
Yeah.
And my very first reps playing college football was on kickoff return. So I love kickoff return. I've always loved it. And, you know, but also that's where the biggest collisions happen. Mm-hmm. And I was the wedge buster on kickoff and when I played indoor football, you know. And so, I mean, those things were huge hits with things. So the funny thing, Dave, is that, you know, we went to the Huskers last year, watched their practices on some professional development. Guess what drill they were doing? XFL kickoff return drill.
Wow.
Okay. You know, what do ST coordinators around the country do? Is they do the XFL drill, because It's controlled, and the big hit, you eliminated the big hits.
The head running start,
yeah.
Really, yeah.
But, you know, there's also that opportunity for a return, and there's an opportunity for a big play for defenses, too, to be able to tackle them inside the 25 and gain some ground both ways. And, you know, in high school, the stickers, man, you got a sticker if you pinned them inside the 20. And, same thing if you're on kickoff return, the whole squad got a sticker if you got past the 20. And, you know, that's kind of been eliminated over the years with things. So I'm excited about it. I wouldn't be surprised if that one doesn't come down to us also.
I think it's one of those, too, that it'll be fun to – it's kind of a wait and see how it plays out. Hopefully we'll get a lot more returns because it is such an exciting play in the game. Yeah. The collision side of it, of course, you want to have the safety, too. I was watching a highlight this morning of Terrell Davis in his first game against the 49ers in Japan, went down and made a bone-crushing hit. Yeah. You don't see those. The guy didn't get injured, but it's going to be interesting not to have those kind of excitement plays and guys like TD get a chance to play running back when they make hits like that and plays like that on special teams, which you guys feature in your special teams, getting guys on the field to try and make plays to earn skill position time, essentially.
You know, there's changes going to happen in our game. There's changes every year. And, you know, when you don't want to stay stagnant. You know, there's the traditional side thing. Hey, why do we need to change these things? You know, I think the end of it is that we got to continue to create excitement. It's such a fun sport, and you know, most of our rules are geared for that, you know, for big plays and for that play, that changes a game, and you don't want to take away those opportunities either side of the ball. You know?
Yeah. You want to create excitement, keep it safe, but also competitive for the offense and the defense. I think all these changes and things will probably just continue to evolve every year. There's going to be some shifting, some changing to try to find that perfect balance that probably doesn't even exist. Honestly, but you just got to keep aiming for it.
And Dave, I will tell you that those NFL coaches and NFL owners that voted for these two rules, they make a lot more money than I do. And they have a lot more data sitting in front of them. So I always do look and reasons why they vote for it, because they have more data put in front of them to be able to make these rules. And they're making them for a reason.
Yeah. All right. Great discussion with head coach Jay Long here today on the Sports Journal. Jay, any final thoughts?
You know, they're talking about two rules. One that'll definitely affect us next year is we're going to be able to, it's got to go through one more phase, but everything is showing that we're going to get tablets on the sideline.
Wow.
And
nice.
I'm really pumped about that. It's replay tablets basically is what it is. And, I stood up in front of the D2 coaches committee and I said, right down the road, Crawford has a replay. I said, Shadron has replay. Shadron High School has replay. Why have we not figured out that we can use replay also?
Yeah.
And, it's something that we were voted on this year. And as a rule change, that's going to be one that's going to be a big rule change for us. You're going to see in the Division Ones some type of a microphone in their helmets, or there's going to be something like it's a computer system on their arm, and that's a terrible way to explain it, but it basically it's like a wristband that shows digital stuff, almost like a watch with things, and some schools are going to be using that, some conferences, let me rephrase that. So I think that's really exciting to be able to use, you know, in a coaching strategy with things. And like I said, Coach Letcher constantly we talk about this all the time, that Crawford and Shadron and Hemingford can use it, but Shadron State cannot. I mean, so we're excited about getting that too.
Man, that's really exciting. We'll have to get into more of that as we move towards the Wayne spring game, maybe in the pregame show too, some of the details on the tablets and hopefully official word that they're going to be involved this year. Awesome stuff, Jay. Once again, thanks so much for the spring game chat on the CSC Sports Journal, brought to you by Nebraska Bank tonight. We'll catch up with the head coach again as the next several weeks go along, moving towards the spring game and practice at Wayne, and our CSC coverage too on the post and on the radio and on social media channels as well. Jay, thanks so much for the updates and for coming in tonight.
Oh, thank you, Dave. We appreciate everybody listening. This is an exciting time for our athletic department. I think we're really motivated and excited about, you know, creating a really positive atmosphere with things. So let's go Eagles.
Thanks for joining us tonight for the CSE Sports Journal, presented by Nebraska Bank. Tune in Wednesday nights throughout the season as Voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins, chats with Shadron State student athletes, coaches, and sports newsmakers to get you the inside perspective on CSE sports. Listen on the free Panhandle Post app and download episodes online anytime at panhandlepost.com by clicking on the CSE logo. For more Eagles content online. Line.
Hey, Alliance and Hemingford. Dustin Chester here, Vice President of Nebraska Bank. Our teams at Nebraska Bank take pride in providing our customers with both professional and personal financial services. Nebraska Bank looks at each individual customer. We review your situation and your goals to determine your best route to financial success. With four Panhandle locations, our experienced teams are ready to serve as your professional and personal financial partner. Nebraska Bank, rooted with you and rooting for you. Member FDIC. See.